The text for our consideration today is taken from the Gospel reading, John chapter 6, looking at verses 52 to 58. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." This is our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you all from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The Jews were incredulous as they stand there listening to Jesus. Who is this guy? How can he stand there and say these things? Is he out of his mind? He says he comes down from heaven, but we know his family. They live here in town. And how can he give us his flesh to eat? What is that all about? And they were upset. And they decided that, well, these words don't mean very much. And so they went off to their homes, to their community, to places of work, to places of conversation. And they had a lot to talk about for the next few weeks as they remembered the crazy man who had lived among them. Went away and now came back with strange, strange words. They struggled. But you know what? We struggle too, don't we, with these words. It's not always easy to understand what Jesus is saying here, unless we keep in mind, of course, the context in which they're found. Now, I want to just talk about that context for just a moment. The Gospel of John is the last gospel that has been written. It is written to kind of fill out the whole picture of Jesus and who he is. And oddly enough, John, when you read him, tends to focus on the idea of word and sacrament as the most important things for the church to keep in mind. And it starts out that way. When you read John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What our eyes have seen, what our hands have touched." That beautiful description of the incarnation of Jesus as being true God and true man from there, from all of eternity, and now enfleshed in our human form, would give understanding and meaning to what we find in John chapter 3 when Jesus talks about what? Baptism, right? He talks about baptism there. The only reason that we understand John chapter 3 is because of John chapter 1. Now we come to John chapter 6, and what is he talking about here? The Lord's Supper. "My flesh is real food. My blood is real drink. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." And how do we understand those words of Jesus? John chapter 1. And as we continue on through John, we get to the last chapters of John where he's talking about the death and the resurrection of Jesus, and he spends so much time there. An incredible amount of time talking about that death and what it means, its significance, its importance. And in doing so, he ties it all together in this one nice, neat little package. That is his gospel that the Holy Spirit worked through him to give to the world, to us. When we keep that context in mind, then suddenly these words are not words that sound strange. They're not words that sound disturbing. but words that give us great comfort. For we are reminded by the words of Jesus here that it is He who heals us from a terminal disease called death. He heals us. Two, He unites us with Himself in a far more intimate way than we could possibly imagine. And three, in these things, we finally receive what we have been longing for, a true peace and sense of fulfillment in our hearts. We poor, miserable sinners, as we confessed earlier, are by nature sinful and unclean. What do we deserve from God as a result of this? Each one of us deserves the fires of hell. Each one of us deserves eternal damnation. It doesn't matter how big of a sinner you've been or how small of a sinner you think you are. You deserve God's punishment, His wrath. Because the wages of sin truly is death. And yet, in these simple elements of bread and wine, the Lord provides us with a medicine that heals us of these things and restores our health. It is a medicine of immortality. It is a medicine we receive from Jesus, from His cross, through faith. Now, what does it mean? Well, we worry a lot about being worthy of receiving this supper of the Lord. People worry about it. What does this mean? I want to receive it worthily because I know that if I receive it in an unworthy manner, it can be to my detriment. Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And yet it is for those people, those very people, that this supper is given. People who don't think of themselves as being all that worthy. God comes to them. We who see ourselves so unworthily. And He just simply says, believe in what my Son has done for you on the cross. There He suffered and died to take away your sins. There He suffered to take away your guilt and to provide you with a medicine. A medicine that has complete and lasting effects. Some still say that they feel unworthy before they receive the Lord's Supper, and that they must feel worthy in order to receive it. But imagine, if you will, a doctor prescribing a medicine to a sick man. And the sick man looks over at the doctor and tells him that he'll take the medicine once he feels a little better. Well, that's sometimes where we find ourselves, isn't it? But faith in these words comes down to these simple things, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Believe those words. That is the medicine of the soul, what we have here on the altar, what we will receive on our lips. For the bread of life is true medicine for you, because it alone has the cure for what ails you. But more than that, that eternal flesh of Christ is in itself life-giving. Because it is the enfleshed Word, as John chapter 1 presents it to us. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God is not death, He is life itself. God does not hand out death. Death comes to us because of sin. Rather, God's presence gives life. And so now we have this Lord's Supper, this communion that we gather around the body and blood of Jesus. And as we come in contact with it, it gives exactly what it has, life. The bread is both earthly and heavenly. So it joins our earthly flesh to the divine flesh of Jesus when we eat it. He who gives His life gives us His flesh to eat, thus giving us His eternal life. We are in God, and He is in us when we take of His true flesh and blood in the sacrament, And all the blessings of the cross become ours. And all the joy of the resurrection is made a part of who we are. And what a wonderful thing it is. Because we united with him in cross and resurrection, Christ with us and for us is the one who was crucified, and through the meal of himself, we're blessed with the lifting of our sin. We're blessed with the lifting of our guilt. We're blessed with the elimination of our damnation because he bore it all. So now we are alive in Christ as his living flesh and blood uphold us every day. And this real eating also provides the third thing that we consider as we go through this text. This real eating also provides real fulfillment and true peace, nothing like the world can offer. We can sit down to a meal and have some bread and have some wine and pass it around, and at the end of the meal we go home and our bellies are full, but at the end of the day it really doesn't mean much. However, with this meal we have something that endures. Here it is not just simply bread and wine. Here is the flesh of Christ that hung on a cross, that rose again from the dead. Here is the blood of Christ that was shed on that altar of the cross and shed upon the earth. And now the risen Christ, who takes his blood, puts it into a chalice and hands it to you and says, "Take, drink." Unlike the blood of the Old Testament sacrifices, which was blood that was dead, the blood of Christ is living, and it gives exactly what it promises. It gives exactly what it is, and it gives it to you. He goes on to say that we eat his flesh, and it sounds strange. To drink his blood sounds abhorrent. But when we eat Christ, we are eating life, because he is life. And because of this, we are able to live in peace with God. Because our nature is so united to his in this eating and drinking that it can be nothing else. It is a peace that comes because we are united with him who is the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And in this way, we have no terror of the judgment that is to come. Instead, we look forward to it with great anticipation, knowing that we have been judged to life and not death. We have been judged to eternity and a place at the side of God. Many of the so-called disciples went away, scratching themselves on the head about the message of the crazy man. They had better things to do. But he gave them something to think about in their little confabs for weeks to come. The question now before us today is, knowing what you know, having heard what you have heard from this gospel and these words of our Lord, will you leave him as well? May our answer be always, as Peter, ever bold, ever brash, ever willing to jump up and declare whatever he felt like at the moment, but very often the truth. And so it is now. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Our Lord knew how precious life was in our eyes and how much we desperately need it. And so he repeats his promise of life often in these words, the words of the Gospel of John, and in the words with which we find the sacraments described to us by him. These give us the heavenly gift of immortality, because truly he is the life of the world. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.